were exploring different perspectives of a proposed railroad line that would loop through northern Illinois and into southern Wisconsin. Projects like the Great Lakes Basin Railroad can have a significant effect. But before a company can build a railroad, it needs land. Since much of that land is in private hands, companies need a way to buy it. To help us understand this process, here's Chase Cavanaugh.
Glad to be here, Jenna.
So how can a company like Great Lakes Basin Transportation convince people to sell their land? Because it's not like the landowner is just going to let the railroad bisect their farm.
You get this kind of resistance with any big transportation project, whether that's a railroad, an interstate highway, or even a sewer line. But if everybody refused to sell, none of those things could ever get built. That's why there's the process of eminent domain.
All right, walk us through that process.
Whoever's in charge of the project maps out their route. Once they have an idea of what land they need for the actual project, this process gives them the legal authority to buy it outright.
It's going to raise the concern, though, that an entity can just take the land right out from under you.
No, there are specific rules. The concept comes from the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, but each state has different laws about who exactly can buy land like this.
So how does it work in Illinois?
I spoke with Charles Davidson, a Rockford-based real estate appraiser. He says there's a specific list of who has that power, and it includes groups like the Department of Transportation. If you're not on the list, he says you have to file for the privilege, meeting three conditions.
The first one is they have to have the authority to actually condemn property. The second is they have to have a project that is for the public good or public use. And the third is it has to be a necessary project.
Did he just say condemn property? It doesn't sound like a sale.
Apparently that's the legal term.
Acquisition does sound nicer, doesn't it? But yeah, it's condemnation is the deal because it can be taken against the property owner's will, basically.
And what did he mean by necessary?
That can vary.
Some projects, especially road projects, are for the obvious safety reasons. If they're going to reduce a hill, a blind spot that causes a lot of accidents, they might have to acquire land so they can lower the hill and spread it out. You get into the economic things and that becomes a little more of an open question.
Some companies may have trouble meeting these conditions. I know of a company that wants to build power lines from Iowa through LaSalle and Bureau counties. The Rock Island Clean Line was approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission, but an appellate court later ruled that they didn't meet two conditions to qualify as a public utility. The Clean Line is currently appealing to the Illinois Supreme Court.
Does the Commerce Commission make the final decision on the ability to buy land?
Only for public utilities. Railroads go through the Federal Surface Transportation Board.
So let's say the board approves the railroad's route. Where do they go from there?
Let's imagine Great Lakes Basin wants part of a farm so they can build tracks straight through it. First, they would send an appraiser like Davidson to take a look at the land. Just like if you were looking into an open house, he would compare neighbors' land to get an idea of just how much the property's worth. Davidson told me it's usually based on market price, but Illinois also takes into account how much that railroad cuts into your property value.
So you had a nice rectangular field that's very efficient to farm. If you do a cut and put angles in that or make an irregular line, that makes it less efficient to farm and that creates a damage to the remainder. You can offset that with any benefit, special benefit to that property, but that's all. They always get paid for what's taken.
Let's assume our farmer had his land appraised. Is he stuck with the price they quote him?
Well, any company would prefer an offer the farmer can't refuse. But Davidson says there's some wiggle room.
The negotiator is not necessarily bound to that exact amount on the appraisal. He has some leeway, usually at least 10%, without any problem. And if the property owner can show that the appraiser has failed to recognize something, some element of compensation or value, then they may actually change it considerably or send the appraiser back to take a second look.
Can companies pay more than the appraised value?
Yes, and that's to their advantage in terms of our farmer's willingness to part with his land. I had the chance to speak with Great Lakes Basin's lawyer, Mike Blazak.
We have stated our intention to pay $20,000 an acre for farmland, which we believe substantially exceeds the current fair market value if it were to be sold as farmland.
But even with all that, what if this farmer doesn't want to sell? Let's say because he wants to hold out for a better deal or just opposes the project on principle.
That's where it can get messy. If somebody just won't sell, the company can start a process called quick take.
Aha, so they can just take the farm.
A frightening image, but like condemn, it's one of those terms that sounds worse than it actually is. Davidson told me both parties meet in court and say they haven't reached a deal. Then the property is deeded to the state.
The condemning authority has title of the property. They can continue with their project, but they continue to negotiate with the property owner. And if they really can't reach an agreement at some point, then it'll actually go to trial.
Do trials often happen?
Davidson said he's been involved with at least 1,000 quick take cases across his career, and only about 5 of them have ever gone to trial. Just like with lawsuits, trials are expensive, take a lot of time, and don't exactly endear the company to the landowner, so it usually ends in a settlement.
And is the process the same across state lines?
Yes, in the sense that they approve a project, value the property, offer to buy it, and use a quick take provision if there are holdouts. However, the conditions you need to meet to get the privilege differ. There may also be different rules on private versus public entities. I should also mention that 2 Wisconsin lawmakers are trying to put forward a proposal removing eminent domain authority from private companies. State Representative Mark Spreitzer says his constituents are concerned about private companies having this power, and he's trying to send that message to other lawmakers.
And my message to them would certainly be that something like this could happen in their district, and these laws were written way before anything like this was anticipated, way before people lived in the kind of density that they do now.
So it's safe to say there's a diversity of opinion on who should have eminent domain power in the first place.
And just to reiterate, when could Great Lakes Basin start acting on this power?
The Surface Transportation Board has to finish reviewing the railroad's proposed route. They could approve it as submitted or make adjustments based on environmental concerns and public comment. But until the STB makes its final decision, the company can't invoke eminent domain.